wisdom,
crystals,
magic,
divination,
empowerment,
healing,
take back your life,
love.
Welcome to the Sit a Spell Show with your hosts, Lisa Lee and Teresa Savina.
Hello, my darlings. It is the 18th, if it is Tuesday, or the 19th, if it is Wednesday. You are listening to the Sit a Spell Show, and it is a glorious, glorious day out there. I've got my delicious, boobalicious, Teresa Savina. How are you, honey?
Hello, my darling. I've been dreaming of you touching my boobies all day.
I did touch your boobages.
You did. It was awesome.
We did not, however, get a picture of that to prove it, so next time I will have to really grope you.
Well, I have your fingerprints in my boobies. Because you didn't realize it, but I put, like, you know, the fingerprint ink that's invisible on your hands, and so when you left your fingerprints, I'm getting your fingerprints tattooed on my boobies.
You're so awesome.
I know. I should have had you put lipstick on and kissed one.
Oh, my God. I should have. Totally.
Wouldn't that have been awesome sauce?
Oh, my God. So what T is talking about is this weekend we had a burlesque at the Mounds Theater that I manage. We had... So it was, and the theme was jammies, or no, it was Saturday morning cartoons. Yeah. There were so many people dressed up in their jammies, and T showed up in her jammies, but she had some hot, hot, hot jammies on.
I bought some special shit because I brought Big Daddy there to kind of cheer him up through his cancer thing, And yeah, so Mama bought a corset.
You looked fabulous. If you want to see pictures of T, you can go to our Facebook site, Sit a Spell Show, or facebook.com/Sit a Spell Show, and we will have Teresa's boobies up there for you to imagine.
And just imagine, all that scaffolding holds them up. Otherwise, they're down to my knees. There you go. I'll at least admit it. It was fun. It was really fun. Although I was awfully happy when I got home and had Vinny take all the hooks off of it because my ribs were killing me. Ugh, I think I punctured something. I did.
It was so fun. I was so, so, so happy when it was over, though. I was exhausted because we were busy, busy, busy. And I was running around with my damn broken foot like a crazy person. Oh, as you can hear, I just got a text message. running around like a crazy person with my boot on. And it was busy. I mean, I think that was like our best night in months.
It was definitely insanely busy. There was a lot of happy drinkers there.
That's because we had such cool drinks.
Cereal drinks. Tell me about that, because, you know, I don't drink anymore, but you partook in some Fruity Pebbles?
Yes, there was a drink, and I don't even know what's in it. I made it a million times, but I don't remember what's in it. It was something blue with milk, and it tasted just like heaven. It was my very favorite breakfast cereal ever, Fruity Pebbles. And it was to die for. I was so happy.
I was like, you looked really happy, I tell ya.
I was.
I'm thankful was so you only happy. Had one bowl, but, you know.
It was a big bowl. And then we had another one called Flapjacks, and it tasted like you were having a pancake party in your mouth. It was
you
so
need,
good.
You need to shut off the fairy phone there, lady.
It's way across the room.
Throw the cat at it.
She's sleeping peacefully for once. So
no. Oh, my God. My favoritest one. You would have think it would have been the guy, Bazooka Joe, but no, it was not. It was the gal who came up dressed up like My Pretty Pony.
That was disturbing.
awesome.
I just thought it was disturbing to watch My Pretty Little Pony or My Little Pony or whatever the heck it is strip.
Oh, that was my utmost favoritest one.
I just thought it was disturbing.
Yeah, I tipped big on that one when it came through. Boom.
Okay, so I can tell you right now why my phone is blowing up. It's our girls. They're emailing back and forth, and I'm included on it, and so are you. And that's why my phone is blowing up, is because those two are talking, Gail and Michelle.
Ah. and this is why I shut off the Facebook, because I don't want to hear the ding, ding, ding.
Well, no, it's blowing up my phone because I've got the things. Yeah. Yeah.
Silly woman.
So we'll have to. Yeah. We'll just pretend it's fairies.
Yes. So back to the burlesque. My husband very much enjoyed the looks that I was getting. That's his new thing now, seeing as I shaved my head. His new thing is he walks through stores with me, and he just, I'm totally oblivious to everything. And he just gets off and laughs his little tushy off at the looks people give me for having no hair on my head. So then I guess they had more to stare at the burlesque show, because he was having a good old time watching them stare at that too.
Well, between your boobs and your head, there's plenty for the eye to see. Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. I'm a freak flag, baby. And I was flying high.
Awesome. You were, I thought you looked beautiful. I really did. I thought you looked beautiful, but you know.
Well, of course, you touched my boobs, so there.
Couldn't say.
And I'm gonna have multiple wet dreams over this. I hope you know that.
Oh God. We're gonna, yeah.
Yeah.
You brought us there this time, just saying.
That's right. I always bring us, baby. I always do. Did you see that there's a possibility of snow tomorrow?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm done.
I want the leprechauns, because we're recording this on St. Patty's Day, to take the friggin' snow with them.
Speaking of St. Patrick's Day, I've got some information about that. Would you like to hear it?
Yes. Do share.
St. Patrick's Day, 7 things you didn't know about the celebration of all things Irish, or however you...
Irish.
It's St. Patrick's Day, one day of the year when you can be plastered by noon and nobody will judge you for it.
Like, that stops any Irish person.
Well, this is true.
No offense, Irish people, but, you know, that's what you're known for.
Yeah. Let's see. In honor of the most Irish of Irish holidays, let's have a gander at some of the things you might not have known about the snake-killing saint. St. Patrick, number one, St. Patrick was not Irish. Born Muin Sacat, in Roman Britain, he was kidnapped by Irish pirates. Yes, there were Irish pirates aplenty back then. And forced to work as a shepherd for several years.
Say that really fast, 5 times.
I know. When he joined the church, his name was changed to Patricus, or Patricius. Or Patrick. His birthday was, or birthplace was Kilpatrick near Dumbarton, Scotland. So basically, St. Patrick was a ruddy Scotsman. His color was not green. In most of the artwork depicting St. Patrick, he's wearing blue, not green. It's even called St. Patrick Blue.
Oh.
Number 3, put down the drink, you heathen. While the celebration of St. Paddy's has become an excuse to get fall down drunk at 3 p.m., it wasn't always so. St. Patrick's Day is technically a religious holiday that falls right in the middle of Lent, not exactly a time for devout Christians to be getting massively drunk. In fact, pubs in Catholic Ireland were banned from opening on St. Patrick's Day up until 1961. Number 4, there have never been snakes in Ireland. Unless we're talking about the pagans, in which case, yes, he got rid of them. St. Patrick is said to have rid Ireland of all the pesky snakes, but it's genuinely, why can't I talk? Oh, that's right, I'm drinking Coca-Cola. Accepted that there have never, ever been snakes on the Emerald Isle. The legend is thought to be... What?
Are you telling me there is not even a garter snake in Ireland?
Nope, no snakes, period. And also there are no snakes in the Arctic, obviously, New Zealand and Iceland. The legend, though, is thought to be metaphorical, with the snakes, a symbol of evil in Christianity, actually being the pagans and druids who were unceremoniously driven out. So it's not the snakes that he drove out, it was the pagans. Number 5, St. Patrick's Day parades are an America thing. Surprise, surprise. Irish soldiers serving in the English army in 1762 celebrated St. Paddy's Day by having a little march through New York City. The parade was officially an event in 1848, and today approximately 3 million people watch the procession, which can go on for 5 damn hours.
Oh my God.
Oh, I know. Number 6, the Shamrock Shake. After approximately 6 years in captivity, St. Patrick escaped from Ireland and went back to Britain. Years later, he returned to Ireland as a missionary, or for revenge, and used a three-leafed shamrock to explain the Holy Trinity to the pagan Irish. Patrick also liked accessorizing his robes with shamrocks, which soon became associated with him. And the last thing, number 7, Hallmark invented the St. Patrick's Day card, of course. They do it all. Yeah, they're the ones that invented pretty much everything. Apparently, 12 million Americans exchange St. Patrick's Day cards every year. Suckers.
I am not a believer in exchanging cards. I'm sorry. I don't want to cut down a friggin' tree for something that someone's going to throw away.
I actually have every single card. I used to have every single card until the, you know what, that my girls have ever given me. I used to have every single card. I know. Ones they made for me, ones they just signed with an X before they knew how to. I kept them all.
If you get a gift from me, you can be guaranteed there's not going to be a card attached to it.
Well, I'm going to just give you a card every day now.
No.
And I expect you to keep them. Okay, I'll give you an e-card. How's that?
Okay, I can deal with e-card because it doesn't kill my favorite things, the trees.
All right, e-cards
every day.
I'd rather
hug the tree.
Oh, I went on my date. Light It Up Lisa has begun.
Oh, tell me more. Tell me more.
We had an amazing time. Wonderful, wonderful, great guy. We had Mexican food, and then we watched a movie, and it was fabulous. It was great. I don't see it as really being a love connection, but I can see us being the very best of friends, because we just get along so well, and we laughed all night long, and so much fun. And we had deep conversations. We had light conversations. It was just fabulous, and the food was amazing. But I can see me being his wingman, trying to find him women.
I'll have to tell you my impression after the show. Because okay. I know who you're talking about.
So, yeah. Oh, and he came to Burlesque as well.
Yes, he did. And he jumped in a frozen puddle with us.
Mm-hmm. So all is good. What else has been going on? Not a whole lot. I've just been working. I've been working, you know, like always.
And Vince is the star patient. He's been dubbed at both chemo and radiation as their star patient because he seems to be an anomaly. This is his last week right now that he just started. And by now, they expected him to be sicker than a dog, puking his guts out, and just not happening. Not happening on my watch.
Isn't he doing like a bazillion percent better than he should be?
Yes.
Blood levels are up and...
Well, that's because of what I do. Yeah. Yeah, I started making everything for him fresh, buying the best greens and all that. He gets lots of soups with lots of nutrients packed into it along with, you know, protein powders and all that. And I found a very awesome tea that works really well. And it's a black raspberry green tea. And black raspberries are supposed to be really good for people who have esophageal cancer. So whenever he goes to his treatments and comes back, he's always got his tea with him because it helps with his, you know, feeling drained and all that good stuff. So I'm just pumping him full of good stuff, and it's working. And although Saturday he almost didn't make it to burlesque.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Yeah, he had a bad patch. He was really sick to his stomach and all this. So I went and made him some hot tea with honey because I use raw honey. And I made him drink some. And then as he was drinking, I was doing some Reiki on his tum-tum, you know. And all of a sudden, I was getting angry guts. His guts were angry as all get out. So I went into the cupboard and I bought Pedialyte and grabbed the syringe and I loaded up like three of them and started putting in his little tubey. And within minutes, he was feeling 1,000 times better. And that's why he made it that night.
Oh, you're a good wife, T.
I know.
If he was on my watch, it'd be like ramen noodles and buttered crap.
Oh, he would not. You'd feed him good.
Good ramen noodles.
You can cook, and I don't want you to sit there and tell me that you can't, because I have seen some of the things that you've cooked.
Whatever.
You lie. You fibber.
I am really, really good at melting cheese on stuff.
Oh, my God.
I will take that. Anyway, so
I've had soup that you've made that was awesome.
I don't remember making soup.
Oh yeah.
Oh, okay.
That one time
I've made soup. I just don't remember Okay. Oh, I remember. Yeah. Okay.
There you go.
It's so seldom.
I knew that bulb would light sooner or later. So on that note, we're gonna take a break, and we'll be right back with Gail Splinter and Pig and Parenting.
I love your accents.
All aboard!
Yeah.
are back, my darlings. And now we have the fabulous Gail Splinter. And she's got pagan parenting for us. So let's listen in. Hi, Gail.
I'm sorry. Okay. Hi.
Oh, I'm kidding when I said everybody's Irish tonight.
Oh, my gosh. Okay. Tonight on Pagan Parenting, I'm going to talk about doing an Ostara family ritual. This one will focus on rebirth and the changing of the seasons on our earth. This Saturday, March 20th, is Ostara, which is the spring or vernal equinox in the northern hemisphere. It's the autumnal equinox right now in the southern. Ostara is a time to celebrate our spirituality and the turning of the earth. We celebrate the balance of light and dark that mark the beginning of spring. It's a time to celebrate new life and rebirth, not only in the physical sense of renewal, but the spiritual as well. Spring traditions are a time of planning for the future, whether it's planning your garden for this upcoming season or planning what you want to do with your life. Since spring is the time of beginnings, planning is an important aspect. We use this time to prepare for what is to come and to think about how others fit in with our plans. It's a good time to talk with your family about the upcoming year. Some traditions associated with this time of the year are things like coloring Ostara eggs. Try using natural dyes this year instead of the store-bought stains. Look online on how to do this. Maybe take a spring nature walk. Notice how winter has changed the landscape around you. Look for signs of spring. Traditionally, this is the time to purchase a new broom. Maybe buy two this year, one for your regular household cleaning and one specifically for your ritual and spell workings to keep on your altar. I had one specifically for my altar use made of long cinnamon sticks that were hitched together in the shape of a broom. It smelled great. Lots of Ostara rituals are done outside, but as I looked out my window today and listened to the weather reports for the next week, I see this won't work for us this year, so we are forced to conjure up a mostly indoor ritual. This is just an example of one of the many topics you could focus on for your ritual. This one, like I said, focuses on rebirth and the changing of the seasons on our planet. To get an idea of the colors which are appropriate for spring, simply look outside. Unless you live here in Minnesota, where everything is still pretty much white and with some mud mixed in, maybe you'll notice the yellows of the forsythia or the pale purples of the lilacs, as well as the green leaves starting to pop out of the white background. Pastels are often considered spring colors. Feel free to add to your ritual whatever resonates with you. Absolutely personalize it to suit you and your family. For this ritual, you'll need three candles, one each in pastels of yellow, blue, and green, a small bowl of sunflower seeds, a jar or cup of milk, 6 to 12 wooden eggs. You can buy these at a craft store, or you can do some other age-appropriate seasonal craft project for your kids. And then markers, crayons, scissors, glue, whatever else that you need. Cast your circle and begin your ritual as you would do any other ritual, calling up the four directions. While you're doing this part of the ritual, children that are too young to participate, they can decorate their eggs or work on their craft project. You can also print out or handwrite on a note card the following children's chant. They can open with something like this. Welcome, welcome, warm, fresh earth. Today we celebrate rebirth, blowing wind, rising sun, bringing the spring to everyone. Rabbits hopping, chicks in the nest. Spring is the season we love the best. Celebrate the green of the earth with me. Happy Ostara and blessed be. The green candle represents the earth and all the new life growing. It's associated with abundance and growth and healing. While thinking of the coming spring and the rebirth that occurs, you can verbalize these thoughts to your kids if you want. Maybe ask them their thoughts too if you want to do it that way. Then you light the green candle and you say, new life comes with the turn of the wheel, the coming for spring we all now feel. Green things grow, creatures bold, roots of grass and trees take hold. The yellow candle represents the sun in this instance. It's also associated with life, vitality, intelligence, creativity, communion, and the mind. Communication and the mind. Think of what the coming of spring and the warmth mean for you and your family. Light the yellow candle and say, equal again our night and day. The earth is warmed with bright sun rays. The blue candle, for the purposes of this ritual, represent the sky, divinity, and spirit. Light the blue candle and say, we thank you for the turning wheel, the snow turning to rain, the trees budding, the flowers blooming, the young animals growing. By the growing light and receding dark, by the warming days and whispering wind, we welcome spring, the next turn of life. Now you can take a few moments to contemplate the coming of spring, but if the children are getting restless, you can do that later. Otherwise, chat with your kids, bring to their attention the things that are changing on the planet. What is happening around them that is a signal that spring's coming? The snow is melting, the birds are coming out, it's raining more, the plants are trying to pop through the snow. What things do you notice around where you live? This next part of the ritual you can do outside. Take the seeds and sprinkle them on the ground. Water them with the milk and say, as the earth gives to us, so do we give to the earth. Now you can end the ritual as you see fit, thanking and releasing the four directions. Maybe you can take a nature walk and point out some of the changes that you notice. This really helps children to view and interpret the world around them and become aware of the subtle changes as well as the obvious ones. So after you've completed your ritual, I think now is a good time to contemplate spring cleaning as a family and use that new broom. So happy spring. So that does it for me.
You mentioned at the beginning about using, instead of getting the chemical dyes or whatever, using...
Oh, yeah, the natural dyes.
Yeah, where do you get those? Do you make them? Or I mean, how does that work?
Peels. You can make them out of...
I'm sorry, what?
Onion herbs. Peels,
yeah, right. Herbs, plants, roots, those are really good sources. There's a list. I've come across a few places that list things, and actually I had a really good book here by, I think you pronounce her name, Edain, E-D-A-I-N, McCoy. She does lots of books on witchcraft and stuff, and the one that I was looking at is on Ostara specifically, and they have a whole list, and I can't find the book right now. I must have put it back. Imagine that. But they have a whole list of things that you can use for natural dyes. Onion peels is really good, but yeah, there's a lot, herbs mostly.
Yeah, we did that
onion peels,
one here.
What color would it do?
It turns like a yellow to a brown to a gold. It's really pretty. We did that one year, and you use cheesecloth, and you put the onion peels around your egg and wrap it with the cheesecloth to hold the onion peels there, and then you put it in the water with vinegar, and it comes off.
I know turmeric is really good to make a bright yellow too. Turmeric is good for that. I was going to see if I could find that.
You're going to get red.
Yeah.
That's what I should have used on your hair, was beets.
I'm sorry, Crystal Light worked really swell. If you noticed on Saturday, it's still pink.
You dyed your hair with
Crystal Light.
Well, see, part of her deal when she got her goal, for her polar bear plunge, she was going to change her hair to multiple colors. So she read online to use sidewalk chalk to do it.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah, well, sidewalk chalk did not work.
Really?
Hands were more colorful than her hair. So I was thinking, damn it, do we got Kool-Aid in this house? Because I know Kool-Aid would do it. No, but Tom has Crystal Light, little packets of Crystal Light. So I said, oh, good. Let's see what flavors he's got. And luckily, he had one cherry. And so I mixed it in the water, and I put it in the microwave and just got it really nice and hot, and I dipped her hair in it, and it stuck.
And it worked. Wow.
It worked.
It won't wash out.
Well, here, I found my list of dyes here. Like white grapes, you get a pale yellow. Carrot tops, you get yellow. Turmeric, like I said, you get yellow. Vanilla extract, you get a yellow-orange. Daffodil blossoms are yellow-green. Dandelions are orange. Onions, like you said, turn orange. Let's see what else is here. Madder root, if you can find that, will turn things red. Red cabbage turns into a robin's egg blue. Iris blossoms, pinkish blue. Blueberries, blue. Beets, blue-violet. Yep, cayenne makes it rust. So those are just some things that you can... used
so
to dye.
How do you do it though? Do you dip them just like you would the regular, like with the regular little pellet thingies?
Well, you do it like a tea. you would make like a tea with it, with the plant matter.
Okay.
And then you stick your eggs in it.
Here's what she suggests to do in the book. She said, add a pinch of salt, a tablespoon or two of vinegar, and a couple tablespoons of cream or tartar, and you mix this well, and you heat it up, and you place the eggs in the dye until they get the right hue.
Okay.
So that's what you do, if that makes sense.
I think that's really cool. I didn't know that you could really do that.
Yeah.
So
yep.
I learned something new.
How do you think they used to dye clothes in the olden days?
They'd go to Walgreens and get dyed.
Yeah, right.
No, they didn't have that in the olden days.
I'm actually doing this with paint, my paints right now. I'm trying to come up with my own paint colors. So I've been drawing flowers and mashing them into a powder to make them like into a pigment to mix in different paints and see what happens. So I'm kind of experimenting with that stuff myself.
Cool.
Yeah.
Well, you're so crafty.
That's one word for it.
I'm not artistic at all unless you count PowerPoint. Otherwise, no. In fact, I went to a psychic like, I don't know, 4 or 5 years ago. Ashley was with me. And she said that I was very artistic. I just didn't know it. And so I was supposed to start painting. I was like, oh, okay. So I went and I got, you know, just watercolors. And it stressed me out so much that I ended up throwing it away because I'm like, this sucks. I am terrible at this. I don't like what it looks like. I am not happy. And I was just like, no.
Yeah. I remember that because I remember encouraging you to do it.
Yeah.
And not to get so into what you're painting, but let your emotions do the painting.
Screw that. I'll make a PowerPoint presentation and I'll be happy.
I love it.
That's where my brain goes. I don't know. That's where my brain always fucking... Oh, sorry. That's where my brain always goes. It's right to business. I don't know how to work any other way.
See, she's the business Gemini, and I'm the artistic Gemini, so... She's more logical. I'm more artistic.
Give me a computer and a... Yeah, I'm good.
She's good. You know how I know it's spring?
Because it's still light out?
No, it's because we have shit crick in front of our house.
Oh,
you know,
yes.
That doggy poo that you know, quite all get. Yeah, well, I live in a trailer park, right? So, and obviously they built it on top of a swamp, so I get lots of water when it thaws. It goes right down the front of our house.
Yeah.
And that happens to be where all the dogs tend to go. And so, yeah, I'm literally up shit crick.
Yeah.
I still haven't come up with anything clever to say about that. I totally forgot.
You should see all the hats and mittens that have resurfaced in my backyard. even Pat's boot. I don't know how that got out there. Nobody noticed.
he was
one of your fun puppies. One of the puppies decided it needed to go out there.
Right. What we'll blame the dogs. Yes, we will.
Yes. We'll blame the puppies.
Are you supposed to blame the dogs for everything that goes wrong?
Yeah.
Yes.
Any noises you can't explain, that's the dogs. Yeah, that's it.
So now I'm kind of anticipating the good cold snow. Don't want the snow, more snow on top of the poo, because I want to get it off, up and out of there. But, you know, this happens every year. Every year.
Basketball time.
Mm-hmm. So it's tiptoe through the poo-poo.
Nice.
If I fall off the stairs right now, it won't be pretty. Let's just put it that way.
Ew. Thanks for the visual on that.
You're welcome. I am so very happy that I could do that for you. So let's wish away the snow. Go away, snow. Go away, snow. I've already lost 2 feet of the bank snow in front of my house. I don't need to add to it.
I've been doing that since October. Go away, snow. Go away, snow.
Aren't you just frustrated as hell? It's 2 years in a row that it's never ending.
Oh, it's awful. This is just miserable. This has been really, really rough this year.
Mama's pissed off. Mama's pissed off. Mm.
I'm thinking, what am I doing here? My life is just too short. I need to move somewhere else.
You and Lisa
with me.
Yeah. Sure.
We'll start a commune.
There we go.
You can paint and I'll do the business plan.
All right, that sounds great.
All right, we are going to take our next break. You are listening to the Cityspell Show and we will be right back.
You're insecure, don't know what for. You're turning heads when you walk through the door. Don't need makeup to cover up. Being the way that you are is enough. Everyone else in the room can see it. Everyone else but you. Oh. Baby, you light up my world like nobody else. The way that you flip your hair gets me overwhelmed. But when you smile at the ground, it ain't hard to tell. You don't know, oh, oh. You don't know you're beautiful. If only you saw what I can see, you'll understand why I want you so desperately. Right now I'm looking at you and I can't believe. You don't know, oh, oh. You don't know you're beautiful, oh, oh. That's what makes you beautiful.
Cityspell Show. Up next, we've got a little bit of news for you. So, T, you want to go first with your first one?
This story should be titled Recipe for Disaster. Just saying. Famous California haunted mansion will soon allow overnight guests. The Winchester Mystery House will soon be open for visitors to stay overnight. The San Juan Planning Department recently approved a special permit to allow overnight guests, NBC reported yesterday. The 160-room mansion was constructed in the 1880s and was designed by Winchester gun heiress Sarah Winchester. Winchester believed that she was haunted by Native American spirits that were killed by the famous firearms that her husband created. The maze-like mansion was built by Winchester to confuse the spirits. The house has doorways and stairways that literally lead to nowhere. The famous tourist attraction has never allowed guests to stay overnight or permitted guests to have alcohol. A special use permit that was approved on March 5th by the San Juan Planning Department will soon change that. It wouldn't be a hotel type of thing. Some people just have a fascination with it, City Planning Department Representative Christine Tumani, or whatever, said. Paranormal investigators are thrilled by the news. Of course they are. Just a few weeks ago in Louisville, Kentucky, the owners of Waverly Hills Sanatorium filed a zoning plan to convert the former tuberculosis hospital into a hotel. And the city's zoning committee voted in favor for city council to approve the zoning of for the project. Now, they are allowing alcohol.
Yeah.
All right. Does anybody remember down in old Louisiana not too long ago, the alcohol induced, oh, there, we're not getting nothing, so let's set this bitch on fire.
Oh, yeah. I remember that.
Mm-hmm. I see a big bad thing going on with that. People
well,
are drinking.
To be fair, a lot of the paranormal places, they do sell alcohol.
Yeah.
I mean, when they're hotels and stuff.
You know, the Winchester House, how stairs go nowhere, you open a door and you fall 5,000 feet, and you're allowing alcohol.
Oh, I forgot about that part. Yeah, that's not ideal. That's there are so many
bad.
People that are so mad about the Waverly or whatever. It was Waverly, right?
Yeah.
There are so many people that are pissed off about that. Oh, okay. I don't know if you can hear that in the background, but it's a Gain commercial. Sorry.
I was thinking I was hearing demons talking there for a moment. Okay.
Yeah. There are so many people that are mad about Waverly turning into a hotel. It's like, why shouldn't they? I don't understand why they're so mad.
Well, because they won't get, you know, total full access of the entire building.
Yeah, but this will make sure that the building stays intact and erect instead of getting torn down because the owners can't afford to keep it going for the dumb paranormal investigators that want to go to it.
Yeah. Well, you know, it's all about the paranormal investigators, you know. Okay, what do you got for us, dear?
Heartbreaking news.
Oh, no.
Don't cry. I almost did. Real Housewives of Beverly Hills fires girls. Crazy Wicked acts for being boring, making dull problems with Joyce, Kyle, and Lisa. let's see. Real Housewives of Beverly Hills fires Carlton Gebbia, or it's Gebbia. I don't even know how you pronounce her name. Ding dong, the witch is dead. On behalf of myself and all the housewife fanatics, I want to thank Bravo for making the decision to axe Gebbia from Beverly Hills Housewives. So she got fired. Apparently Aww. She's boring. Now, as you all know, I am an avid fan of the show. In fact, it's on tonight. The reunion show. Anyway, so they are firing her because she was boring as hell. And I got to admit, she really wasn't all that. She tried to be controversial with I'm Wiccan. Although some of the things that she would say, I was like, what? We don't do that, you know?
Well, yeah, you know, the producers were going, you need to sacrifice a goat.
Well, no, she wasn't. It wasn't like that. But some of the things that she would say, she'd be like, and my Wicca. Or she'd say stuff like, I am Wicca. You don't say I am Wicca. You would say I am Wiccan. You know, just some bizarre little... I think she was just trying to be cool and different and controversial.
You know what? It just proves to shows to prove that Wiccans and pagans are just as boring as everybody else.
That's true. That's very true. I never thought of it that way. I was her biggest advocate, and then she started talking. I'm like, shut up, don't say that. Shut up. You're not helping us. You sound stupid.
Well, you know the producers are you know, prodding, and because that's not reality, sorry. They're trying to get ratings, so they're telling somebody one thing. You know, she said this about you so that they get the big reaction and all this crap.
Definitely.
And she probably said, I'm not playing that game.
She was boring as hell, so I'm not going to miss her. Bye-bye, Carlton. What do you got?
Poor baby.
Excuse me, I have a little bit of ugh. Malaysia recruits witch doctors to find missing Boeing passenger jet. I cannot pronounce his name. His last name is Jeffrey. Jeffrey, famous shaman called King of the Witch Doctors, performs a ritual at Kuala Lumpur International Airport. Reports say he was invited by government and officials. Ooh, could be interesting. Malaysian officials already struggling with their public images after jetliner with 239 people on board went missing have been further embarrassed after a team of witch doctors performed rituals at the Kuala Lumpur International Airport to find the Boeing 777. Can't you see how stupid we look in the eyes of the world? That Seri Anwar, the country's opposition leader, asked Parliament on Thursday, according to the Malay Mail. All the contradictory statements, our slow response, our credibility and image have been shattered, destroyed, Anwar said. Jeffrey, also known as the Raja Boma Sidunya Jingora VIP, led a spectacle of sorts on Monday when he performed Boma, or shaman, rituals at the international airport in full view of dozens of reporters from around the world who've descended on Malaysia capital since the plane disappeared Saturday on its way to Beijing. The performance was reportedly requested by the government members, according to the South China Morning Post. Using bamboo as binoculars and smacking the ground, Jeffrey and others performed rituals that included a flying carpet and a magic boat. Photos and videos of Monday's event drew ridicule on the internet, especially from Chinese users. Most of those aboard Malaysia Airlines Flight 370 were from China or Taiwan. Now, I just want to, they say it was Flight 370, and then up above it said 777. Oh, no, it was the Boeing 777. Okay, I'm confused, but that's okay, because that's just the way I am.
They still haven't found it. After all these days now, they still haven't found it. And now they're looking into the pilot to see, because apparently he was some anti-government guy, but all of his friends are like, no, he would never do that. So I think they're grasping at straws right now, just trying to figure out what to do, because everybody looks stupid right now. How does the plane just disappear?
It's in the Bermuda Triangle. That's
of
one
Asia?
Of the theories. Well, there's more than one Bermuda tape triangle.
Oh, there is? I didn't know that.
Oh, yeah. There's a couple of them.
Then it must be aliens.
It must be. They're all getting alien probed.
Oh, we can only hope. Well, that sounded terrible. I didn't mean that.
It did. It did. Both of us sounded terrible. You know, our prayers go out to the families of people who are missing. Let's just keep it that way.
I agree. 100%. Oh, and hi, Cody. We didn't say hi to him last week. We have to say hi to Cody. Hi, Cody.
That's because we weren't on last week. It was a repeat. Hi,
Cody. Oh, that's
right.
Yeah, this whole last couple of weeks have just been a blur. Sorry. All right, my next up, we've only got 5 minutes left, so should I do Tsunami Ghosts or Woman Drives Through Church?
I think Woman Drives Through Church.
All right, Woman Drives Through Church, stabs husband on altar and blames the devil. A Hawkins County woman is charged with attempted murder after she drove her car through a church, then stabbed her husband on the altar, according to Churchill investigators. Authorities say Stephen Hammam dialed 911 Sunday morning around 9:50 a.m. to report that he had been stabbed. He told officers that his wife, Stephanie Hammam, 23, had left their apartment and driven to the Providence Church, which was across the street. She had driven the vehicle through the front doors of the church. He found her lying on the altar, and when he went to check on her, she stabbed him in the chest with a large kitchen knife.
He said she told him, "The devil is in me." He ran into his apartment where he called for help. Then she left the church. About 20 minutes later, authorities learned that Stephanie Hammond or Haman or whatever had been brought into the emergency room at Holston Valley Medical Center in Kingsport. She told officers that God wanted her to take things to the church, but the doors were locked, so she went in anyway. She also said she was angry with her husband because he was worshiping the NASCAR race in Bristol, and it made her mad.
Oh, my.
So if I was married and my husband was worshiping NASCAR, I still don't think I would drive my car through a church and then stab him while I'm laying on an altar.
That's got some kinky little twist to it. I just... Whoa! Let's do a sacrifice on this altar. You will not worship NASCAR. You will not worship NASCAR.
That sounded so freaking creepy. You sounded like an evil little leprechaun.
Red rum, red rum.
Ew. Remember that movie that I made you watch?
Which
the movie, the Good Witch? The one that we argued over? Because I thought it was sweet and you were like, no, bleh. Because you had a bad attitude. They are making that into
just
a TV
series flowers,
now.
Lisa.
Shut up. They're making that into a TV series now. Yay!
Thank God I don't have TV.
Speaking of looking at the flowers, holy balls. Last night's Walking Dead.
I know.
Oh my effing God. I did not see any of that coming. And I thought that Carol was going to kill herself because Josh told me that happens eventually. Or at least in the comic book.
In the comic, she kills herself when the governor takes the prison.
Oh, so they're totally off script now. So there's no...
Well, they have been, because the baby's supposed to be dead, too.
Yeah, in the comic, when the governor attacks the prison, that's when Lori dies. The governor point-blank shoots them with a tank blast right in the face while Lori's holding the baby. So the baby, Judith and Lori both die at the same time. During the governor's assault on the prison, and then Carol decides she just cannot take it anymore and lets herself get surrounded and be eaten alive by zombies. But then again, Sophia is still alive in the comics at that point too. So,
but instead, we got Carol teaching her little minions to kill, kill, kill. One goes psycho and kills her sister.
I didn't see any of that coming.
You know,
I did.
There
because...
was a spot where I thought that she was going to kill Carol.
There's in the comic they weren't female, but there was a serial like 10-year-old serial killer named Eugene in the comic. So Lizzie was basically a cipher for Eugene. So I saw it coming because the comic pretty much went the same way. They just swapped genders.
I saw it coming when she was in the prison being all freaky.
So, yeah, I can't even imagine what's going to happen next week. I watched it today, and I was like, oh, my God.
And we only get two more episodes before they make us wait till next October.
Are you freaking kidding me?
Yeah, I'm not kidding.
Okay, so far this season, or this part of the season, with the exception of today, hasn't been very many. Oh, my God. It's just been kind of, okay.
Okay. Well, whatever. Oh, Lizzie goes psycho. Yeah. I like that.
And that was about it, really.
Yep. And so Carol takes her off to the beautiful flowers in the field and goes, just look at the flowers, Lizzie. Look at the flowers. You're mad at me. Look at the flowers, Lizzie. Boom.
Yeah, from now on, if anybody ever says, look at the flowers, I'm running like a bat out of hell. Not happening.
Why would a bat be in hell in the first place? And how could a bat run when bats traditionally fly? That makes no sense.
Okay.
And that was Josh. Okay.
That's it
Time
for our show.
Time for your spiel, baby.
Okay, guys, thanks for joining us on the Citispell Show. We've enjoyed entertaining you, hopefully entertaining you. Make sure to go check out 1201beyond.com, and you can get fabulous T-shirts and have T and I on your boobies. and check out our website, citaspell.net, where we will have all of our spells and news and everything posted on there for you. Or you can also check us out on Facebook at Citaspell Show, where we have all kinds of fun stuff on there. Remember that you are perfect in absolutely every way. You matter. Go out there and make a difference in the world, even if it's just a smile or a compliment. Believe me, that can go a really long way. And remember, my darlings, to always, always, always take back your light. Blessed be.
Citaspell is a 1201 Beyond production. Visit 1201beyond.com for more great shows.